But now, we'll get to some more soldering with Ekahai. Have fun. Alright. Hello, everyone. Here's Ekahai again. Today, I will not experiment, but solder some more. I have found this soldering set on the internet and ordered it. It's an owl, actually. It's a bit missing from our decorations here, so I'll show how you can assemble this soldering kit. This kit has the difficulty rating of 2, which means it's a bit more complex. And so I'll have a look what's in here. I hope these were all of the parts. This is a PCB again, a printed circuit board. We have 2 wires here that we'll need, and a small coil. And then we have a small switch here, 2 LEDs, 1 resistor, 1 capacitor. No, a capacitor, the other thing was a transistor, and a diode, and a battery holder. And now I'm going to start soldering and explain to you what all of the parts will do, and give you some soldering tips as well. You can buy these kits on the internet. There's usually also an assembly instruction, which is something I will reference throughout this workshop. And I'll try to adhere to it. So, we'll start with the resistor. For resistors, fortunately, the direction of wiring does not matter. And it needs to go here where it says R1. In the manual, they recommend putting a solder point on one side first, which we can do by holding the soldering iron to the solder on the pad, and pay attention, the resistor pan has warmth and heat through itself, so if you take too long you can burn yourself. So we try to heat this up a bit, press the wire into it. Which seems to hold up, and now we'll attach it with some solder on the other side. And we're done with the first resistor. I'll use this pair of tweezers to be able to hold it without burning myself, so we have some proper contact to the PCB. A resistor, as its name implies, applies a resistance to the current that flows, and it's important to reduce the impact of voltage or current spikes for the components after it. I'll now clip off the remaining bits of leg. The other wire cutter I just used did not do the job, so I'm using this one. You can use classic wire cutters for this, but also multifunction ones. I'm using this multifunction one because I'm going to use a general piece of trans for other things as well. Okay, the wires are in here and the excess is clipped off. Now we can add the diode. For this one, the orientation is important. And on the PCB, there is a small white line that we can see, which is the side where the black line on the diode is supposed to be directed. Most diodes have a kind of marking like this. And a diode basically is just something that gives the current a direction in such a way that the current can flow into one direction and in the other direction it's blocked.
den Straßenfluss oder
just like a one-way road. If you imagine the flow of traffic as an equivalent idea.
Gerade will die Diode nicht so, wie ich gern will.
The diode apparently doesn't really want to be soldered right now, because the wires aren't quite flat.
Versuchen wir mal kurz das andere.
Okay, let's try doing the other leg.
Bändchen anzulöten. Es ist gerade ein bisschen.
This is a bit.
Jetzt ist die Diode auf einer Seite befestigt und jetzt werde ich
difficult right now, but now the diode is connected on one side and now I'll carefully press the wire onto the PCB there and add a solder joint there. Here the line on the PCB is also denoted with a K, same as the line on the diode, which means that this side of the diode is the cathode, so the place where the current will exit the diode. This is usually denoted in schematics with a triangle and a bar on the tip of the triangle, which indicates which direction the current can flow. And that it can't flow in the other direction. Light-emitting diodes that can also glow and convert some of the current and voltage into light.
Somit ist das zweite Bauteil auch angelötet. Als nächstes kommt der Kondensator.
Okay, so we added our second component. Now we want to add our capacitor. This one also doesn't matter which way around it's soldered. Capacitors are usually denoted with a C, just like the English word for capacitor. And that's why I could easily find it on the PCB. Otherwise, there's also listed in the manual where each component goes. This, because of the complexity of the winding coil, is for kids starting at, let's say, 10 years old, that maybe have already experimented with some simpler soldering sets and might want to experience some more and get to know some more components.
Is this set optimal?
For these kinds of kids, this set would be ideal. I want to apologize to any expert solderers that I always need multiple attempts here. But my soldering proficiency as the explainer shark, Erklärhai, are reduced, but I'm giving my best to make this work in the end. Alright, so the first leg is connected now. Now let's carefully connect the second one. We can use some more solder here, doesn't hurt. And now I'll hold down the first leg again and press it down a bit. And again, as with the other parts, I'm going to clip off all of the excess wires so they might not contact other components accidentally. The next part is a transistor. And transistors are some of the smallest switching components that we have. They usually have one flat side and three small legs. Up until now, all of our components had only two legs. But because we have two legs where the current flows through, but it can only flow if there's a voltage on the third leg, and that's why it's a switch. We're gonna bend this in such a way that it's easier for us to solder on the PCB with the right orientation. I'm gonna do this and check if it fits right here as a dry run before actually setting down our solder on the pads. And now we put solder on one pad, and now we're gonna fixate it by melting the solder on the leg to fixate it. And then afterwards we can do the next leg. I'm gonna bend this a little bit into place such that it's centered on the pad. Also, on this circuit board, you can see the traces, the copper traces, on very well, because there are some plastic sheets in between, and on the inside there's a small copper piece on some of them, or some other metal that allows us to connect all of the individual connections to one another. And often you can see the copper traces and copper planes on the circuit board very well and discover how the components are connected to one another and how they are supposed to work together and what the resulting circuit might do. I will now also try to clip off the ends again. I'll try this with this big pair right now. Big pair of pliers to shorten this down. For now, it might also be enough to just bend the excess wire up such that it can't make contact with anything else. The last one here. I'm gonna bend up with my tweezers here. I'm gonna bend it away from the capacitor so that it doesn't touch. Be careful not to scratch the PCB, because if you scratch the circuits underneath, you might damage it. Okay, so I finished this area. And the next thing in the manual is to attach the light-emitting diodes that are denoted with two different legs as well. The longer one is shown with a plus, and the LED is supposed to appear behind the eyes of the owl. And that's why I'm bending the legs in such a way that this fits. And I hope that I can still see which one is the longer and the shorter one later. Now I'm gonna apply some solder again. Note that my bending undid itself a bit. But I can hold this down now. My recommendation is, when working with some small PCBs like this, because if you start soldering on a big PCB, like maybe a computer mainboard, this can be very difficult, and I would not recommend it, because the larger it is, the more difficult it is to actually reach the components from the outside. And I'm actually lucky here that I can turn the PCB around as much as I like in order to have an easier angle for affixing these legs. The first leg is always the most difficult one. Here as well, if there's a lot of smoke coming from the solder, that means it's mostly just the solder flux that is within the solder. You shouldn't breathe much of it. It's not good for your health. You can, for example, wear a mask, like me. But in small amounts, it's okay. Otherwise, it would probably be forbidden. This part now doesn't really want to be connected because it isn't lying flat on the PCB. And so there's a bit of tension there. But I hope that I can get it at least to a point where a bit of current can flow. I'll bend this when I want down here. And I think the current should be able to flow here. But if it doesn't work later, then I probably know where the error will be. If I need to find any errors, I'll bend the second LED as well. Set down some solder. I could have prepared all of the best solder points for all of the components, but I'm doing it according to the manual now, so I don't have to say I've prepared this for you already. If it doesn't work, we can check for errors later. Don't be surprised if it doesn't work for the first time. My first soldering experience that I did in the past also didn't work on the first try. Now all of the LEDs are connected. Unfortunately, we don't have to clip off anything there. And the next thing is SW1. For this one, it also doesn't matter which way it's connected. I'm again bending it a bit such that it will lie down properly, and now I'll do the first bit of solder again. Now take the part. And attach it to the solder. Then I'll do the other side.
I also drag up the solder a bit, so in the worst case the current can still flow. But ideally the parts, the components should all be touching the PCB. Okay, next we have our coil. So I remove the isolation from the ends very carefully by cutting into the rubber a little. There are special pliers for this, but if you're careful, you can do it with wire cutters as well. Just be careful not to cut the wire. Because it's the second to last component, we have a little more time and be more careful. So it's supposed to be 5 millimeters according to the instructions. I think I'll use a bit more, and it's not wire in itself. Well, it's not a one-stranded wire, it's a braided wire. You see it because it's multiple strains of wire. And the wires that were included had a green and a pink isolation. Normally, the color does not mean anything. It's just to be able to distinguish the wires. For batteries, people like to use red and black. Black would be plus, minus, red would be plus, to identify the poles. But usually the colors don't have meanings, you just take whatever you like and try to distinguish them. So now I elongate the uninsulated piece a bit more. As mentioned, there are special pliers for this. But if you don't want to spend a few bucks for a specialized tool, you can just do it carefully with a wire cutter. You just have to be careful with it. So I put them aside pairwise, and I'm supposed to be winded 10 to 15 times around this ferret core. Try to have some extra so I can put it on the PCB. And now I carefully wind these wires around the core without them crossing. That's important. And I hope that once I have the first winding, the others are easier. And after that, we only have the battery holder. So I should have enough time. The coil is a very interesting component, because a coil is the first part here that introduces induction. How induction works, how coils work, that can fill whole talks. Or a few semester hours at the university, so I will not explain it in its entirety, but it's there to reduce peaks in the current or to smooth out the currents. So the more windings you have, the easier the following ones are. So I take care to not cross the wires. Push them together a little. It's a bit like handiwork. So like crocheting or sewing. It's similar movements. So let's count them. So this is number 6. So it's 2 or 3 more, and that should be fine. Of course, if you don't make enough, you have extra wire. So let's do it carefully. Take your time.
Noch eine Wicklung.
And one more winding.
Man sollte, also, wenn man das Prinzip einer Spule verstanden
If you understand the principle behind a coil, you also learn why with certain components you have to be careful. But if you have no idea what a coil is, a lot of households have a coil because they have an induction stove and they work after the same principle. Okay, the coil is done. There are no, is no more room for more windings around this core. Unfortunately, a little bit of the wire broke off. The instructions say it should be cleaned up later, but I will do it now. This braided wire here consists of a lot of smaller wires. And you can connect them and combine them with sorters so you have one solid rod. I have to be careful because I have to wait a bit because the soldering iron turned off. If you have an older one with less electronics, it doesn't turn off by itself, so be careful so you don't touch the wrong end of it, and also turn it off so the next person who enters the workplace, they don't burn their fingers. So this is set to 380 degrees Celsius, so it's very hot. Okay, so they are a bit together, and I do it with the other one as well. Okay. Now I'm cutting off the other side. With a bit of distance. In the beginning, leave yourself more space rather than needing new parts, new components. And again, we remove the insulation. First one done, now the second one. Carefully again. And I am stressing this carefully, so you're not cutting the individual wires, just like I did. So I can redo it. That can happen. So I am cutting the insulation carefully. So, of course, I clean them, clean the ends up using the soldering iron. And a bit of solder so it doesn't break. And braided wire has the advantage over a thicker wire that it's more flexible, because a thicker wire can just break. And the wonderful instructions explained that we should mark one of the ends of our coil. So I'm using some piece of non-specified tape, and I mark the ones coming out from one side of the coil. And the instructions say that the first color, that would be pink for me, for reasons, because I really like pink. And that should be connected to number one of the marked pads. So add a bit of solder again.
That's a D. Blitze rein.
And we put the braided wire in. Wait a second, and it's holding. Then the second color of the marked end comes on, is put on the three, so it's crossed. The wires are crossing, like this, and the first color, so pink, come on, are fixed on pad 2. I'm bending it over like this, and it's fixed, and the last end of the wire, and in the end, you can remove the marking, you can also just use less. And again, I'm preparing the pad and I know I'll need more solder. And I'm always moving it so I can freely access it. And now I'm adding the braided wire. If it's glossy, it's good. If it's not, well, it's usually still okay. Now the coil is added, and I'm adding the battery holder, as mentioned, with a black and red wire. It's all marked. So I'm starting with the minus, again adding some solder, and also adding the solder for the plus pole. And I'm attaching them up a little more. It's a bit finicky. That was the first one. Okay. Like this. Now all the soldering is done. I'm just waiting half a second for everything to cool down. Now I try to put a battery into this battery holder. And as we see, unfortunately, we don't see anything. That can have several reasons. So I wanted to show you the debugging process. So first I check whether the battery provides any power at all by just going measuring here and here, and it's 1.5 volts and it also arrives there. Where does it go next? So the LEDs are not getting anything. The resistor neither. And like this. So I am assuming that it's about a battery sensor. So the last two solder points, solder joints, that it's not clean enough, not properly connected. Now that looks better. And for doing it, for re-soldering, I'm removing the battery because I don't want to get an electric shock. So whenever you are doing work on the circuit, remove the power source. Unfortunately, it's still not lighting up. So I just go through the most ugly solder joints. Usually it's the ugly ones. Now I removed the component. Even if it doesn't work, there can be multiple reasons. Also, the components could be broken, theoretically. So debugging can take a lot of time. Or an error analysis. So I am trying to resolder the LED, and if that doesn't work, I hope you still learned something. Amongst other things, to take your time, take more time than I did. So I resorted the LED, tried to do it more cleanly, and without the LED, there is no current flowing. And depending on how the circuit works, if it's disconnected here, then nothing works. So, some circuits are very sensitive to disruptions. So, now I'm having an issue with the soldering iron. Okay, the solder joint is clean now. Let's try it again. It wasn't that. Unfortunately, this circuit isn't working. I will do a proper debugging and error analysis. And if I find it, I will report my findings. I really like the circuit. It's a few different components. So you can learn about electronics and the basics. So that's it for today. Thank you for watching. And if you see with this circuit as well, not all experiments can work on the first try. Thank you for your attention. After a bit of debugging and removal of the tape and using the button, I can see that it works. So some debugging is necessary, and here we can see quite nicely, if we darken it a bit, that the LEDs are glowing. And that it's nicer without the tape.